Our Hebrew Bible lesson today comes from Jeremiah chapter 29, verses 1 and then 4 through 7. It can be found on page 687 in your Pew Bible. And if you're looking at the large print, it's starting on page 894. Hear these words. These are the words of the letter that the prophet Jeremiah sent from Jerusalem to the remaining elders among the exiles, and to the priests, the prophets, and all the people who Nebuchadnezzar had taken into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Thus says the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, to all the exiles who I have sent into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and live in them. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Take wives and have sons and daughters. Take wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage, that they may bear sons and daughters. Multiply there and do not decrease. But seek the welfare of the city where I have sent you into exile, and pray to the Lord on its behalf, for in its welfare you will find your welfare. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Our responsive psalm reading is Psalm 66, which is found on page 790. And 791, your United Methodist hymn note. Bless our God, O peoples. Let the sound of God's praise be heard, who has kept us among the living and has not let our feet slip. For you, O God, has tested us. You have tried us as silver is tried. You brought us into the net. You laid affliction on our loins. You let your people ride over our heads. We went through fire and through water, yet you have brought us forth to a spacious place. I will come into your house with burnt offerings. I will pay you my vows, that which my lips utter and my mouth promised when I was in trouble. I will offer to you burnt offerings of fatlings. With the smoke of the sacrifice of rams, I will make an offering of bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who worship God, and I will tell what God has done for me. I cried aloud to God, who has praised with my tongue. If I had cherished iniquity in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But truly God has listened and has given heed to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, who has not rejected my prayer or removed his steadfast love from me. Amen.
Let us turn to the epistle, the letter of Paul to second letter of Paul to Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, verses 8 through 15. That'll be found in your Pew Bible on page 200 of the New Testament. And in the large print version, it's on page 259 of the New Testament. Hear these words initially from Paul to Timothy, but certainly to all of us as well. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure, if we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by Him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let's now continue in the Gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. Luke chapter 17, verses 11 through 19. You'll find that on page 75 in the New Testament Pew Bible version, and in the large print it'll be on page 98 in the New Testament. A story that for many will be familiar. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. As he entered a village, 10 lepers approached him. Keeping their distance, they called out, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." And as they went, they were made clean. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. He prostrated himself at Jesus' feet and thanked him. And he was a Samaritan. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" Then he said to him, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. When you take a closer look at this gospel lesson from Luke, you quickly come to the understanding that the context of this story makes all the difference in its meaning. Now, I would argue that knowing the context of any Bible story enhances your understanding, but it certainly clearly is true in this case. When you first hear this story, when you think about it from your memory, perhaps, it sounds like a simple lesson in gratitude. Only the faith-filled Samaritan was grateful enough to return to Jesus and to thank him for healing the lepers. Well, it's a little more complicated and actually more meaningful than just that. This little band of brothers was made up of 9 Judeans and 1 Samaritan, but they all shared a common infection known generally as leprosy. The term leprosy referred to several different skin diseases, but the medical experts of the time, if you can call them that, didn't really understand these diseases at all. What drew these 10 men together was the fact that their skin conditions made them outcasts at every level of society. People feared lepers because they were potentially medically infectious, but they were also ritually unclean. They were cast out because their disfigurement of their skin was thought to be not just physically, but also spiritually deadly and contagious. Jew or Gentile, they were not allowed to come into the villages or the cities or the synagogues. In short, they were not welcome anywhere. They were shunned by everyone as true outcasts. The only way they could ever return to society at any level was if a priest would declare them clean after he had given them a thorough examination. That's why Jesus said to them, "Go and show yourselves to the priests." He said nothing to them about them being healed first. He just told them to do what they already knew they were supposed to do if they wanted readmission into society. An amazing act of faith on their part by all of them was that they actually set off to do just that, to show themselves to the priests. Excuse me. They had no physical evidence at that point that they were being healed, but they set off anyway on the authority of the word of Jesus. But not the Samaritan. When he realized he was healed, he stopped heading toward the priest. He disobeyed Jesus' clear command. He came back to Jesus to thank him. And in so doing, he was flouting not only Jesus' command, but the expected cultural custom about giving thanks. And in a way, that makes a double point. As it turns out, in the cultural rules of Jesus' day, if you were trying to get help from somebody else, you would not thank that person until you had actually received the help. You might thank God in advance for help that it would come, but you would not thank another person until the favor that you had asked was completed. That just wasn't done. What this means is that the nine who went on their way and did what Jesus told them to do were not being ungrateful in their cultural context. They were doing the expected thing in such circumstances. They would thank the priest who declared them clean once that had been done. That's the way things were accomplished, and everybody knew it. But the Samaritan came back to prostrate himself at Jesus' feet and to thank him, just like the image on the cover of your bulletin. Then Jesus asked, "Were not 10 made clean? But the other 9, where are they? Was none of them found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner?" The Samaritan was recognizing two very important things. First, Jesus' action for him was decisive. The work was done for him. Jesus was the priest, so that he was thanking the right person for the completion of the work. The form of Jesus' own words, "Your faith has made you well," confirms that he was taking this priestly role to declare the man clean. But more than this, the Samaritan got it that Jesus was God. It was the Samaritans, not the Judeans, and perhaps not even the other disciples who were watching this, who fully recognized that and acted accordingly. The outsider got it before any insider did. And this recognition of God was completely in line with the revolutionary message that Jesus had been preaching to everyone about God's kingdom. If God had made the Samaritan clean, he was clean. And so he got it when no one else did, that it was time to give thanks to God, not just for the healing, but completely for the actual cleansing as well. And that meant giving thanks to Jesus. So Jesus showed himself to his disciples as the priest to the unclean and the foreigner, the one who could make persons not only physically whole, but also ritually clean and reintegrate them into the community as well. And he also showed himself as God. At the end of this story, Jesus says, "Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well." The Samaritan was no longer a leper. He had been cured of his skin disease, and equally important, he had been completely healed of his role as an outcast. He could return to his home. He could go back to his community, to his place in society, because of the love of God manifest in Jesus. And clearly, this Samaritan was a changed person because of that experience. He was forever transformed. Well, my hope is that you now agree with me that the context of the story makes all the difference in the world. But there are many lessons to be found here. On one level, we need to recognize the difference between a medical cure and a spiritual healing. Although we always pray that God will cure us and those we love, we cannot be sure of this miraculous outcome. One thing we do know for certain is that God will always provide healing in our hearts and in those we love. The love of Jesus can indeed make you well. It can open you to God's amazing grace even in the midst of suffering. On another level, this story brings to mind the many people in our society whom we label as outcasts. We treat them as outcasts. Jesus always hung around with people on the edges of society. He ate dinner with the least, the last, the lost, the contagious, and the ritually and spiritually unclean. My goodness, Jesus is the Lord of the outcasts. Who among us here this morning feels like an outcast for whatever reason? Who do you know of who needs to hear the good news of Jesus? Who needs to feel the healing love of this Christian community? Who do you know of who would benefit from a personal relationship with Christ? Who desires to be a changed person, a person transformed by the love of God? How can you reach out to those on the edges of our society in order to welcome them into our church and into our hearts? Because isn't that exactly what Jesus is asking each of us to do? Get up and go on your way. Your faith has made you well. Amen.